We'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 this evening. We'll have a short thought from the Word of God. I'm going to deal with, there's so many different passages of Scripture that we could look at with regards to this topic. The title of the message this evening is Character That Counts. Character That Counts. And we as Christians need godly Christian character in our lives. And certainly as a society today and as a group of people, we need to have character. Amen? Well, there is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 12 through 28, through the end of the chapter, here is a list of things that the author is giving to the Christians at Thessalonica. Here in these final verses, he had been talking to them about the fact that Jesus was coming again. He had dealt with the fact that God was coming again, and you know, as Christians, we have that surety and that truth, and we look for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, because of that, because we know that Jesus is coming again, the fact is it should impact our lives. It should impact how we live, because we know the Father is coming. He's coming soon. So he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 12, we'll read down through the end of the chapter, some familiar verses in this list that you, I'm sure, could quote, but we'll read them all in context here. He says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded." One time, I was in a conference, and the pastor was preaching, and there was a large group of men who were saying amen. They were just really getting excited, and they were really amen. And I'm for amen, and I'm for it, and that's why I try and get some feedback out of you. Make sure you're awake. Make sure you're with me. And these guys were just really going at it. And, you know, the pastor, he paused for a minute, and I said, will somebody please pat those men on the back? And so several people around him patted him on the back, and he says, "You thought I was, you're patting them on the back for doing a good job, and I just want you to know the Scripture says to comfort the feeble-minded." And so I'm glad you could be a comfort to them tonight. And I never forgot, I can't read this passage without thinking of that. But we're to comfort the feeble-minded, and who fits in that category, I'll let you determine. You could decide who it is that you're supposed to be comforting. But he says, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And verse number 15, he says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." The first epistle to the Thessalonians was written from Athens. As we see here, this was written from Athens. We got the apostle here writing this to the church of Thessalonica, writing to them and exhorting them that, listen, your life should be impacted by the fact that God, Jesus Christ, is coming again. And here he gives them this list of things that should be present in the Christian's life. I was discussing with Pastor Gus my thought for this evening, and he says that passage of Scripture has been called by some commentators the New Testament commandments, or the commandments to the New Testament Christian. And these is a list of commands, things that should be present in our life. And certainly we could walk through these, and they're all very applicable as we look at this idea of character that counts. Character that counts. We're living in a day where there is an excessive lack of character. Of character, just doing right. Not only is there a lack of character, but the fact that there's a lack of character is known. Not only is it known, in many cases, it's celebrated. It's mind-boggling that there was a day and age when if you asked somebody, you would ask a young man, maybe in their mid-20s, and you would say, well, where do you live? And he'd say, oh, if they lived, at this apartment complex or that, the answer would come really quickly. It would be, oh, I live over on, this street, or I live in such and such apartments, or I it would come real quickly. But if they lived at home, you'd get a different kind of an answer. It'd be, well, for right now, you see, my situation's a little bit different, and so for just the time being, I actually have to, because my job, I'm in between jobs, and as soon as I get my new job, my new position, this is going to be fixed. But for right now, what I'm saying is that I live at home. What I'm saying is there used to be a measure of embarrassment with a young man who still lived with mom and dad after so many years. Nowadays, there's people that brag about it. I don't remember where it was on YouTube or on the radio or where it was, but somebody was calling in and talking and bragging about the fact that they still lived at home and how, he's in his 30s and he still lives with mom and dad and he's living off mom and dad and he's proud of it. There's such a lack of character today, of discipline, of just doing what is right, and yet it is celebrated and it, many times it's praised. We need sound Christian character today. You have character. Some people are a character. But you have character. Every one of us has character, some type of character, whether that is good or bad. Generally, when we talk about having character, we, of course, are alluding to and referencing good, solid, sound biblical character. But the fact is we all have some type of character, whether it's good or bad. Character is what you are. Character is what you do instinctively. It is what you are. It is what you do naturally. As I gave the illustration a couple weeks ago of burning my hand with the grinder and how immediately I didn't cuss. I threw the grinder just a reaction to get it out of my hand. To just get it away from me. But I didn't cuss because that wasn't in me. In those situations in your life, it's what you do instinctively that's who you are. The measure of a man's real character is what he would do if no one would find out. What would you be capable of, or what would you do if no one would find out? If you knew that no one was going to know, what would you do? That's the real measure of a man's character. Too many today are worried or even consumed with the outward, with what others see. All the while, they're vile, wicked, dirty on the inside. We may even come into church, we may even carry our Bible, we may even go through the motions of acting or talking or looking like a Christian, but we've gotten to the place where we're so consumed with what people see, with the outside, with what somebody might think of me, what somebody might perceive me to be, or whether they think I'm a good person or a bad person, or if they think I did good here or bad here. We get so consumed with that, we build our lives around what people see, all the while inside, that's not who we are. We're living as what is better known as a hypocrite. Because inside, that's not who we are. But we continue to put up that facade. We continue to put up that wall, that falsehood that everybody sees because we're consumed with what people think, when what we should be consumed with is what God thinks. You know, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And the older I get, the more true I find that statement. It is amazing to me how down through time, you look back, and those of you that are of years, even some way beyond me, like Brother Bob, anybody, you know, those that have been around a while, you know that happens. You see people and you think, man, we thought everything was good. We thought this was all right. We thought this. And you find out that this was happening or that was happening or they were doing this or the whole time they've been stealing from work or the whole time they've been doing this. Or, you know, a pastor that I knew for years and years and years, I knew him. I mean, I grew up and listened to messages of his. I knew him for years and years and years. Oh, it was probably about 10 years ago, I found out that he had been a functioning alcoholic for about 20 years, serving as a pastor, and he kept whiskey in his desk in his office. He was just a functioning alcoholic, and that he lived on it. But you know, ultimately, you can be sure your sin will find you out. And you know, God and his grace sometimes doesn't allow our sin to be brought to the forefront right away to give us an opportunity to deal with it ourselves. But at some point, if we don't judge ourselves, then God's going to judge us. You know, a lack of character at some point is going to come out. It's going to show. Although we can put up a facade, although we can put up a front, although we can act for a little while, a true lack of character is going to show up at some point in our lives. That's why we have our internship program here for 10 weeks. Because we're trying to really work with the young people that come. You know, anybody can put up a facade for 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. I mean, they can get out of bed in the morning on time for about 3 or 4 weeks. But then 5th week, 6th week, 7th week, it starts to show up. There's been some interns that I had to go get out of bed in the morning. I had to go say, hey, it's time to get up, time to go to work. We got stuff to do. You understand they're almost ready to graduate from college and go into the ministry somewhere, and I'm waking them up. That shouldn't be. But a lack of character is going to show up given enough time. That's the facts. What we need to do is get back to worrying about fixing the inside, fixing what we really are. And when we fix what we really are, what's on the outside will be right. Instead, we're investing all of our time and energy and effort in decorating the outside and making sure the outside looks good. All the while, we know in our heart what's really missing. And my goodness, the energy that we put into making the outside look good would come naturally if the inside was good. Does that make sense? Your character is developed over time. Most people should have a large amount of their character instilled in them by their parents. A lot of what we are, even all the way up to the, you know, Brother Don or Brother Dave Evans back there or Rich, I mean, these men, they could look all the way back to their parents and the things that they learned from them that they still have as part of their life today. All of you can. You can look back and say, this is what my parents gave me. But do you know that sometimes your parents work hard to instill some things in you, and they don't take. There's some things that maybe that didn't really catch on. And so there's some things in some areas maybe that you have to work on yourself, that we are responsible for as individuals. The character we end up with, you can't blame your parents. Say, oh, my parents never taught me that. Well, it's still right is right, and you need to begin to start to teach yourself those things. Webster's 1828 dictionary says describing character is the peculiar qualities impressed by nature or habit on a person. It's the qualities that are your nature or that are your habit. This is your character. The online dictionary says that it is the features and the traits that form an individual's nature or the nature of a person or thing. One such feature or character or trait may be called a characteristic. So your character is made up of many individual characteristics. Do you have a characteristic of being honest? Do you have the characteristic of integrity or loyalty or steadfastness or studiousness? I mean, there's so many character traits that should be present in our lives. When we look at character, it is moral or ethical quality of a man. A man of fine or honorable character. We look at a man and we may look at him and say, well, he has questionable or suspicious character. Like the other day, Miss Margaret was out in the parking lot and she saw a man who was of suspicious... questionable. Thank you. Questionable character. She saw this man kind of like wandering around and acting a little funny, and there's something in her mind that said, that guy is not part of the church. Why is he walking around the parking lot? There's a lot of kids around here. There's a lot of vehicles here. Somebody's car might not be locked. We need to let somebody know that this guy's out here, and that's one of the reasons why we have security, so that there's men that can take care of and monitor those things and keep track on that. And I was glad she was ready to let somebody know, because there was somebody with some questionable character. Is your character questionable? Do you have the qualities of courage and integrity? Now, reputation, you know, reputation is what men think of you. And a lot of times we're very concerned and consumed with our reputation. But your character is what God knows you are. And we need to be a little less concerned about our reputation. Now, a good name is rather to be chosen, and I think that that's something we need to be worried about. We do need to act right and live right, and we don't need to just throw it to the wind and say, I don't care what anybody thinks. Bless God, I'm just going to do what I want. Everybody else can shove it. No, that's not the right kind of spirit. We do need to be concerned, but we need to fix the internal, and the external will take care of itself. Be right on the inside. Be concerned with what God thinks. And what we're doing on the outside will come as natural reaction to that. So developing character in our lives. How is it you say, okay, we need the right kind of character? And we're going to look at some different characteristics over time and discuss these and talk about them. But let's look just at the idea of how to develop character. Proverbs 11, verse number 3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. That to me is such a description of people today. It seems that you have one or the other. That's Proverbs 11, verse number 3. You've got the integrity of the upright that's going to guide them, and you see that. You see a man living by integrity and with the right kind of character, and it guides them in their life. But so many today are guided by the perverseness of their transgressions, and their lives are being destroyed because of it. You look at their lives and you see it. I was talking to somebody today, and they said, man, there's this gentleman we've been witnessing to and praying for years. And he's just about ready to trust Christ because he's looked at his life and he's seen it is a mess. It's just a mess. Developing character takes time. We're not going to turn there. You can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. And in those passages of Scripture, there's three characteristics that God gives to us as Christians. Now, you understand that becoming a Christian doesn't give you character. You see, if I was, let's just make it what I am. I'm not really musically inclined. I don't really have any skills in that area. Do you know when I got saved, I trusted God as my Lord and Savior? Do you know that I didn't get any musical ability? I'm disappointed about that. It didn't just happen. I didn't just get music. I mean, I wanted musical ability, and I trusted Christ, and that didn't happen. What I'm saying is, who you are is who you are. And when you trust Christ, yes, you get the power of God, and you get the ability to have victory over sin, and you get freedom from the possession and the control of sin in your life. But character is something you still have to develop. It doesn't just happen because you got saved. You've got to build Christian character in your life. And the examples that are given to us in 1 Corinthians, he gives us three. He talks about new babes in Christ. Just like Samuel Isaac Rodriguez. Now, we know that he was named Samuel because that's Mary's maiden name. And that's why, that's what Mary said. She said, disregard the fact that his grandfather has that name. She thinks it's because it's her maiden name. But just like Samuel, I mean, he's a babe in Christ. He's not or a babe. He's not going to stay that way. He's going to grow. But do you know what? His growth doesn't he's a baby. The question was asked, are you guys sleeping through the night yet? Well, I mean, hey, he's been out of the hospital for 48 hours. He ought to be doing kindergarten already. Right? I mean, he ought to, next week, he ought to be in third grade. And by the following week, graduation. No, it doesn't happen that quick, does it? It's a lifelong process of growth. Well, building character according to God's example in 1 Corinthians is like newborn babes. You start to grow, and it takes time. It takes time. We need to grow. And then he talks about as a new plant. When you plant a new plant, it takes time to mature. But there is a purpose for planting the plant. It's not just to plant it, just to have it, just to, oh, look at the plant we planted. No, there's a purpose for that, whether that may be to provide shade for you, or maybe many times for the example given to us in Scripture is that that plant would bring forth fruit. So we have new life in Jesus Christ, and over time we are supposed to be maturing to the point that we bring forth fruit. But that takes time. And then the last example, and this is one dealing with building, which I really like, he says, it's like a new foundation. A foundation that was laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we build on that foundation, and of course he says, be careful what you build, because one day the Father's coming and he's going to inspect every room in that house. So you got to be careful what you build on the foundation that was laid, which is Jesus Christ. But it takes time to do that, developing and building character. It also takes tenacity. You can't give up. You've got to be consistent. You know, we have children and you're training children to do this or that. It takes time and you got to be consistent. You can't just say today you got to pick up your toys and then for the next 3 weeks, oh, it doesn't matter what happens. And then, oh, you got to pick up your toys in the next 3 weeks, it doesn't matter what happens. If you want to train them to pick their toys up and put them away, you have to do it every single time. Do you know what? With all of my kids, all of them, not one of them ever gave us a hard time at all about being in a car seat. And you know, they put kids in car seats now until they're 8 years old. You know, you're 18, you get out of a car seat now. But you know, all the time they had to ride, I mean, I would see other parents putting their kids in a car seat and the kids going, and screaming, and they don't want to do it, and they're saying, no, you have to be in a car seat. Do you know why that is? Because every single time we got in the car, they got in a car seat. It was not an option. And do you know, if they fussed, when we got home, they would stay in the car seat. If they were fussing, they would just stay in the car seat. I don't care if we've been home for 2 hours, they would still be in that car seat until they stopped fussing. And that cured them of that really quick. We get in a car, they get in a car seat. What I'm saying, it was consistency. If you want to build character in your life, you've got to be consistent. Not just to dealing with children, and that's vitally important with children, but it's also important for us. What you need to do is you need to change what you do instinctively. You see, your character right now might be flawed. your character right now, what you do instinctively might not be the right thing. But what you need to do is change what you do instinctively. Before you can do something without thinking, you must force yourself to do it many times on purpose. If someone had a desire to be proficient at shooting firearms, if they wanted to be good at shooting a gun, you know the first time you take them to the range, they get out the gun and they point it right at you. What do you do with this? And you're like, hey, no, you got to keep that pointing down range at all times. And they're like, oh, is it loaded? And they look at it. You're like, don't look down the barrel of a gun to check if it's loaded. And then they might pinch their fingers in the slide trying to get it cocked, you know. And nothing is natural to them. And they want to shoot. And they get up there and they aim. And they're aiming and they're aiming. And they're just trying really, really hard. And they shoot and they miss the whole target. But what happens over time of forcing themselves? You take somebody like Wilby to the shooting range. He does not in his mind even think about the fact that that barrel is supposed to be pointed downrange. He can be talking to you. He can be pulling the gun out. He can be loading it, taking it apart, talking to you. The gun always stays pointed downrange. It's always unloaded till it's ready to shoot. I mean, all of these things just come natural to him. It's what he does instinctively. Why? Because he spent hundreds of hours and shot thousands of rounds through a gun. They grab the gun and they shoot. Almost like they didn't even aim. You're like, man, how do you do that? Because it comes natural. Because they force themselves to do it on purpose enough times that it's what they do instinctively. If you want to build character in your life, it doesn't just happen. You have to force yourself to do what is not natural to you right now on purpose enough times till it becomes what you do instinctively. Does that make sense? It's like tying your shoes. Remember the work and the effort in the beginning? Like, okay, pull this, put this over that, pull it around, put this over that. And then where does this part go? Now you tie your shoes and don't even think about it. You don't even look. Because it's what comes natural. It's instinctive because you've done it so many times. Jeff Owens, in his book on character, says before any person will subconsciously do right, he must program himself consciously to do right. So just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to do right. You must force yourself to do right until it becomes habit, till it becomes what you do instinctively. Then, when you're not thinking at all, you will do it without forcing yourself to, almost on accident. Our world lives contrary to this. You see, they do what feels good. They don't want to do it if it doesn't feel good. And that produces people with no moral compass who only do that which is right in their own eyes. When you force yourself to do right, it starts to become enjoyable to you. When you do right, even when you don't want to. You might not enjoy it at the first. It might be hard. But you begin to enjoy it because then you get the satisfaction of having done right instead of the disappointment of yet again failing to live up to your own expectations. You begin to experience fulfillment of fulfilling a task done well. Let me illustrate. The other day in our family devotions, my kids asked me a question. They said, Dad, how come we work all the time? I mean, we're working all the time. We just want to do something fun. And I told them, kids, working is fun. I said, I enjoy it. I have a good time. I mean, it's enjoyment to get out there and to say, okay, we're going to get this. And you get out there and you work hard and you accomplish it and you get it done. I said, literally, kids, I'm not just saying this. I'm telling you that I enjoy that. It's fun for me. And they looked at me like I was lying. I said, kids, let's talk about this. I said, let's say that I let you just play video games and watch TV all day. You could just, that's fine. You want to play games, you want to watch TV, do whatever you want. All you did was play games, eat, and sleep. And they were all for it. They're like, I think that's a great idea. Let's try it, Dad. I say, you know what would happen? After about 3 days, you would start to get bored. You would get bored. Even though you have freedom to watch whatever, to play whatever, you'd get bored. And then you know what happened is you'd start to get discouraged. And then you would get depressed. Because God didn't make you to live for enjoyment, for pleasure. God made you to work. There is something inside of us that is built there that we get satisfaction and fulfillment out of life when we get out of bed and make ourselves do what we know is right to do, even though maybe we don't like it. But when you get done, you say, man, that was hard, but look at that, I accomplished it. Man, look at that, I'm pleased that I did that. Man, that was difficult and I didn't enjoy it at first, but look what I've been able to do. I mean, what if all you ever did was eat ice cream and cookies? Oh, but I love ice cream and cookies. Man, they're so good. Well, not only would you be 400 pounds in terrible, terrible health, but isn't it when you start to force yourself, you know what, I don't really like green beans, but I know they're good for me. When you force yourself to start to eat those, you start to develop a taste for that. You say, you know what? I like that. It's good. I enjoy it. Some of you are like, no, not green beans. Not broccoli. I'm saying when you force yourself to do right, you begin to start to enjoy the success of having done right, whatever that might be. Maybe you could look at it as just working out, just getting a little bit of exercise. And you go, boy, I sure don't want to do these 100 jumping jacks. But when you get done, you say, wow, that was hard, but I'm glad I did it. It was good for me. It was good to get the heart rate going a little bit. And you're pleased with yourself. You get satisfied because you did what you knew you were supposed to do. Am I right? Someone said, happy is the man who dreams a dream and is willing to pay the price to make it come true. We have a dream that we want to be all that God wants us to be. We have a dream that we want to fulfill God's will in our life, that we want to bring honor and glory to Him. Then we have to be willing to pay the price to make it happen. And that means to start to force ourselves to do things that maybe don't come natural, to start to build character in our lives so that it will be natural. Just like coming to church on Thursday night. There are many people who in their minds say, man, I know I ought to be going to church on Thursday night. I know I should do that. But they have not forced themselves to do the uncomfortable enough times that the uncomfortable has become natural, and then they begin to enjoy it. Those of you that are here faithful, and this is where you know God wants you, and you're in church, you don't even think about it. You just come. And you get enjoyment out of being in God's house. Amen? But I imagine, unless you grew up in church like I did, and I was forced and drugged to church, you know, so one guy said, I had a drug problem when I was a kid. My parents drugged me everywhere. You know, if you developed that in your own life, there was a time where you had to say, you know what, I'm not really excited about it, but I know I need to do it. And you made that decision. I know Anthony, who's here, where are you, Anthony? Oh, he's downstairs? He's with the kids downstairs. You know, they had been coming here a little while, and he said, we just had to make the decision. Are we gonna be in? And they decided to start coming Sunday night, Thursday night, revival, missions conference, whatever. He said, whatever's going on at church, we're going to be there. There's Tiffany. She could testify to it. Right? That's what he told me. Bob Jones Sr. said, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. What it takes to stop you. It's important to have good character. J.R. Miller said, it's a great deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than it is to face the responsibility of not doing it. It is a great deal easier to do that which God has given us to do, no matter how hard, than it is to face the responsibility of not doing it. I want you to think about your character. Is it all that God would want it to be? Is there some place in your life that maybe you say, you know what, I need to work on that a little bit? And I want to encourage you to force yourself to do the uncomfortable, to start to build the right kind of character in your life, to replace those things that you know in your mind are lacking in your life. Let me close this in prayer and we'll be done. Lord, we thank you for tonight and the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, God, for this lesson on character that counts. I pray, God, that you would give us godly character. Give us the strength to continue to do that which we know we ought to do, even in the face of hardship, even in the face of, attacks of the devil who would certainly try and discourage us, to keep us from doing what's right. Lord, we know there's victory and satisfaction and fulfillment in having followed your will and done what you want. And I pray, God, you'd give us Christians who experience that abundant life as they pursue you and follow you and do what you want us to do. Give us that godly character that makes a difference in the world today. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.